Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now. The Hamilton Corner.
Do not adjust your speakers. Do not adjust your speakers. I am back. And I'm so glad to be back with you on the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Jeff Reed on my left. Jay Tross on my right. Affectionately referred to as J Squared. We are ready to get it going. I am glad to be here. I want to thank Miki Addison and Matt Barber for filling in for me while I was away attending to some business that I had to address. But I am glad to be back here, to be back with all of you. And I trust that you all had a memorable and significant observation of the Memorial Day holiday, where we honored those who have given their lives in the ultimate sacrifice in fighting for our freedoms here in this country. You know, one of the things that I try my best to do in communicating with my own family, with my own children, is to know that the holiday is not merely about relaxation, which, of course, I enjoy. The holiday is not merely about barbecue, which I've been known to throw down a brisket or two. You know what I'm saying? But it was an observance, you know, it was a day set aside for observance as opposed to mere raucous celebration. I, for one, and this is not to cast aspersions on anyone else, but I am reticent to wish someone a happy Memorial Day, not because I'm opposed to happiness, but it really is a day of reflection and observation. And at this time where, you know, there are all types of opinions, all types of things that are being advocated for, I think it's critically important that we reflect on not only the freedoms that we enjoy, but also those who have dedicated their lives to protecting those freedoms. And this particular day of observance was, excuse me, was to honor those who had given their lives in the ultimate sacrifice. So I pray that you all had a time of reflection and observation and these moments. And just because the day was observed yesterday doesn't mean you can't go back, if you have not done so yet, to share with your families and share with your loved ones what the day was all about, what Memorial Day means, and to really tie this into scriptural importance you find all throughout the scripture, the Lord himself encouraging the Israelites to make a memorial, you know, to remember, remember, remember. And I think that's something that's critically important, generally speaking, and maybe even more so important in this day and time where we find ourselves increasingly unmoored from the things that contribute to the freedoms that we enjoy as a nation. So I just wanted to share that with you and my own reflections on that. And I want to say this, that if you are in the Baton Rouge, Louisiana area, I want to let you know that I will be there June 3rd through the 5th. Louisiana Family Forum is an organization I'm very familiar with. They are a family policy organization in Louisiana that they are having a leadership academy. A leadership academy June 3rd through the 5th in the Baton Rouge, Louisiana area. Just go to lafamilyforum.org. That's lafamilyforum.org. I will be there participating with my brethren from my home state. So I'm looking forward to being there. That will be this week, this Sunday. Actually, I'll be there on June 3rd. I'm looking forward to having a great time with some of the best and brightest in Louisiana, helping them to orient themselves to the trajectory that God may have for them to carry their lives. So lafamilyforum.org for more information for the Louisiana Family Forum Leadership Academy. It will be a great time. I will be speaking there alongside several other people. Well, let's begin in Genesis chapter 18. This is a portion of scripture. I've discussed this before. Sometimes I forget whether I've shared this on AFR or exclusively on Urban, so things kind of run together. But this is something that's just been on my heart to share. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 through 19. Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 through 19. This is my namesake in scripture. I remember my dad telling me, you guys know I'm Abraham Hamilton III. My great-great-grandfather's name is Benjamin. And my great-great-great-grandfather's name is Elijah. Interesting. I'm learning a whole lot about my family. But my great-great-grandfather told my grandfather, people may ask you when they find out your name is Abraham, whether or not you're named after Abraham Lincoln. He said, no, you make sure you let them know you're not named after Abraham Lincoln. You're named after Abraham from the Bible. And so that has matriculated its way all the way down to me. And so when my children ask me, I tell them, hey, I'm not named after Abraham Lincoln. I'm named after Abraham in the Bible. All right. Genesis 18, verses 16 through 19. Here we go. This is when Abraham is visited with an epiphany prior to Sodom and Gomorrah being judged. And there's this nugget. We often, in reading scripture, we kind of, sometimes it's human tendency to kind of hit the high notes, and we can often miss things if we are kind of cliff notes purveyors of God's word. But I encourage you to digest every morsel. Y'all, I say it all the time. I feel like I'm on a treasure hunt every time I open the word of God. And you have this small set of scripture, but it is a powerful, packed, a power-packed portion of scripture. And it says this, verse 16, then the men set out from there, and they looked down toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Now, isn't that amazing? So at this moment where the Lord is preparing to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, he reveals kind of an internal thought process by saying, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Should I reveal to Abraham what's about to happen? And then the Lord concludes, well, surely Abraham will become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now that in and of itself, you would think, would be enough for the Lord to say, well, yeah, let me reveal to Abraham what's about to happen. He'll be a great and mighty nation. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. This is clearly a messianic prophecy, in that the penultimate blessing that all the nations of the earth will enjoy is the Messiah, Jesus Christ, coming to where all ethnos, tribes, and tongues will be gathered around the throne room. But the Lord doesn't stop there. He says, in addition to noting that Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, then the Lord also notes, for I know him. I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? So in all of the analysis of the features of Abraham's life, his character, and his future trajectory. And by the way, one of the reasons why I love the word of God is that the Lord shows us in scripture, not prepackaged, you know, titans of the faith, but we learn in Abraham's story, the making of a man of God. He has all kinds of errors. He's lying. He's doing all kinds of stuff, but we see him growing into a man of God. Well, in the middle of all of that, the Lord highlights the fact that not only is Abraham who he is, but he highlights the fact that he will train his children and that he will train his offspring after him, meaning his immediate children, and the seed sown and the root established in his children will be so mighty that it will matriculate down through his lineage. He uses Abraham's commitment and willingness to train up his children in the ways of righteousness as a revelatory moment to say, upon this basis, I will invite him into additional revelation. Isn't that amazing? I find that to be astounding. That the Lord, in all of his infinite wisdom, in all of his foreknowledge, in all of his sovereignty, in all of his omnipotence, that he highlights that for us in Scripture. So it causes me then to then turn to us and ask, do we want to draw closer to the Lord? Do we want God to reveal more of himself to us? Do we want Scripture to move from being words on a page to being life and godliness for us? The question I'll ask is, can it be said about us the same way the Lord said it about Abraham, that we will train our children in righteousness? That we will train the generations after us to stand in what God's standing. Y'all have heard me say this before. That, and I know today is the day that, you know, Starbucks is closing their shops, you know, or what, over 8,000 stores, nearly 180,000 employees that have implicit bias training. You know, and I shared this, Brother Darrell Harrison posted on his Facebook page, and I shared it from his page, where he basically saying, like, you know, it's about high time that the body of Christ stop copying everything that the world is selling. You know, we have the word of God. We don't need to talk about social justice and all these other adjectives and adverbs. The word of God clearly describes justice and injustice. And I said before, anytime you put the social on top of the justice, you're going to have more of a focus on what the culture is saying than what the word of God is saying. Very simply put, God's definition of justice is the application of his standards and his commands to people without prejudice. Very simply. We don't need the world to tell us how to do that. But here we have, in Scripture, the Lord highlights for Abraham, that one of, not the exclusive, but one of the bases upon which he decided that I will invite Abraham into this additional space that I'm not obligated to do, but I choose to do, is that Abraham will teach his children my ways. Abraham will not only walk in my ways himself, but he will teach his children my ways and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord and by doing righteousness and justice. Oh, that, brothers and sisters, that is a powerful, powerful nugget there. You really get the communication from God that if it could be said about us, that we will commit ourselves to instruct those after us in the ways of the Lord, that we put ourselves on the footing to receive more from God. It's amazing. It's amazing. And as Aristotle has said, any who has preserved, and I'm going to say this statement, and then I'm going to apply it to the family, any who has pondered the preservation of empires, they have roundly concluded that they rise, meaning empires rise, and fall on the education of the children. Now, we see Aristotle applying that to empires, right? I would like to encourage you to apply that to your family, that your generation's success, so to speak, in the Lord, or failure in the Lord, rise and fall, not once in education, but with the discipleship of the young, of the children. All too often, we have forfeited one of the most viable resources that we have in the body of Christ, which is our families. Please do not sacrifice your family on the altar of monetary pursuits, or on the altar of busyness, or on the altar even of church activity. But let us understand that our families are our first call to ministry. My first obligation, and I love you guys, I love the radio, but my first responsibility is to serve my wife and my children. Let it not be said of me that I dedicated myself so much so to having a radio program that allowed my children to go unattended to. That I allowed my wife to go uncultivated, uncovered, uncherished by me. The Lord reveals to us through Scripture that one of the bases for him revealing to Abraham the intimate details of his immediate future plans was because he could trust him to raise his children in righteousness. If the Lord would say that about Abraham, what does that say about you and I? I'm just getting back, but I'm back. Thank you for tuning into the Hamilton Corner. There's more after this break.
Investigating New York's highest, well, used to be, legal official. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Attorney General Eric Schneiderman has used his political office to target innocent people. Now the New York governor has appointed a special team to investigate serious allegations. Four women told the New Yorker magazine that Schneiderman physically abused them and tried to use his position to intimidate them into silence. Schneiderman resigned after these women described being slapped, choked, verbally abused, and threatened by him. He allegedly told some of the women that he would tap their phones if they didn't keep quiet. These accusations would not be the first time Schneiderman abused his office. Liberty Counsel is defending Scott Fitchett Jr., a pre-K teacher whom Schneiderman sued because he peacefully shares the gospel on public sidewalks outside a New York abortion facility. Stay informed about the outrageous actions of Schneiderman and follow Liberty Counsel at lc.org.
Come join Sandy Rios for a walk back in time when she was a young grieving mom, discovering firsthand how God's strength is made perfect in weakness.
I'll be the song for you. I'll be the symphony.
The music of Sasha's song, Sandy Rios' first album project, is a reminder of God's faithfulness.
Would God sustain us through the years?
Produced by John Ennis of the Billy Graham Crusade with members of the Indianapolis Orchestra, this beautiful music will lift your heart.
Like peering through a window blurred with rain, emotions run together in a flood of doubt and pain. For He is able.
Available on CD at afastore.net.
Over the last 100 years, the Boy Scouts have instilled biblical morality in millions of boys. Every Scout promises to do their best, to do their duty to God, and be morally straight. Sadly, times are changing. Charisma News reports that at the World Scout Jamboree next year, condoms will be made available and alcohol permitted in some areas. Times may be changing, but not for the best. I'm confident our local Scouts will continue to instill biblical values, morality, and a commitment to honor God. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Hi, I'm Abraham Hamilton III, and I am so looking forward to the AFA retreat at Big Cedar Lodge near Branson, Missouri. I'll be among speakers like Sandy Rios, Dr. Ray Pritchard, Ed Vitagliano, and our worship leader will be Dennis Jernigan. I'm especially looking forward to meeting like-minded believers as we share encouragement in Christ in that beautiful Ozark setting.
Join us for the AFA Retreat October 8th through the 11th. For more information or to register, visit afafoundation.net.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here at American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. So glad to be back with you all. Well, I have this story. What did I do? I did something with my computer. My computer was back online. My computer's back online. Thank you for bringing my computer back to me. Isn't it amazing that as we live life, you know, I almost feel like I need a little string instrumentation as we live life and we continue on with our busy schedule, no, not schedules, schedule, and we go about our comings and goings and we think we have matriculated to a level of sophistication that does not require reliance upon the Lord thy God. He then smacks us in the face with a reality check. Often it comes in the way of a new discovery. So I have in my hands here an article written about a new study that was compiled by two highly esteemed academicians, one by the name of Mark Steckel from the Rockefeller University in New York, and David Thaler at the University of Basel in Switzerland, who together published the results of a study in the words of this author, and the author's name is Marlo Hood. In the words of Marlo Hood, that this study's findings, they are sure to jostle. Isn't that a good word? Jostle. We need more usage of the word jostle in this day and age. That this study is sure to jostle, if not overturn, more than one settled idea about how evolution unfolds. Now, their words, not mine. If you listen to this program, you know that I do not espouse to the macroevolutionary theory. I do not adhere to it at all. I don't think you need to try to fit a secular theory into the Word of God. You just hold up the Word of God, and whatever doesn't match the Word, then it has to be discarded. Well, this article, written clearly by a person who is an adherent to Darwinian macroevolutionary theory, it was just amazing for me to read it, how they are like trying to wrestle, like, oh my gosh, what do we do with this study? I don't know. What do we do? That they are literally freaking out because the study literally turns, I would say, a century or more of Darwinian evolutionary theory on its head. Let me dig into it a little bit. So this study deals with DNA barcodes collected from over 100,000 animal species by hundreds of researchers around the world and deposited in the U.S. government-run GenBank, right? Now, I have to give you a little bit of the backstory as to how this barcode study came about. Because as the author puts in her article, Marlo Hood, quote, who would have suspected that a handheld genetic test used to unmask sushi bars pawning off tilapia for tuna could deliver deep insights into evolution, right? So the way that this study was unearthed is that originally this handheld genetic device was used to try to catch sushi makers who were trying to represent tilapia as if it was tuna. And then this little device ends up revealing what these scientists did not expect to be revealed, which, by the way, I will remind you that Darwin postulated this theory before we could actually investigate the cell. We could not evaluate cells at the cellular level. I'll just leave that where it is. Well, this is what the study says. I'll read from the article. Quote, it is textbook biology, for example, that species with large, far-flung populations, think ants, rats, and humans. Now, that's their words. They put ants, rats, and humans all together. That's what they say. Well, it's textbook biology that these far-flung species will become more genetically diverse over time. But is that true? According to Mark Steckel, one of the researchers in this study, the answer is no. This study was published in a journal titled The Human Evolution. It says that for the planet's 7.6 billion people, 500 million house sparrows, or 100,000 sandpipers, genetic diversity is about the same. According to the study, its most startling result, perhaps, is that 9 out of 10 species on Earth today, including humans, came into being all at the same time. I need to take a swig of water. Oh, this makes me laugh. I don't know, maybe this is not as funny to you. But the thing that startled them, they literally said this was startling about the study, is that among all of these species with animals and humans, according to their examination of DNA barcodes, according to the science, not according to somebody's theories, according to what they could measure to observe through scientific analyses, that all of these species, oh my goodness, they came into being at the same time. Holy biblical support, Batman. What have we found? Well, contrary to what we has established previously, Robin, it appears that everything that is came together into existence at about the same time. Well, Robin, that gives me problems because didn't Darwin say it was amoebas turn monkey turn men and that it didn't come together? Well, I don't know what to tell you, Batman, because the study shows. Now, what are they going to do with that? The other researcher, David Thaler, said, quote, this conclusion is very surprising. And this is what he says. And I fought against it as hard as I could, end quote. Now hold up, player. If you're a scientist, why are you fighting against the results of your scientific inquiry? Could it be that you had a prior commitment that you wanted your science to point you toward? Because if you're just a scientist, you wouldn't fight against the research, or should I say the results of your scientific research, but you fight against it. Oh, here comes that F word. When you have a faith-based leaning upon your prior established position. The article goes on to say, how does one explain the fact that 90% of animal life, genetically speaking, is roughly the same age? Now, for me, with my Bible, you know, I have my Bible, it has a brown case. You know, there's no problem for me. I can do the Cabbage Patch while I read this study. I don't have anything that I have difficulty relying on. But if you have a prior commitment, you do. In analyzing the barcodes, the DNA barcodes across 100,000 species, the researchers found a telltale sign showing that almost all the animals emerged about the same time as humans. Dun, dun, dun. Which, to those of us, and this is just the latest example, right? This is not an isolated example. I shared months ago, that National Geographic, you know, they were chewing their fingernails and, I can't believe they released their revelation that there's no such thing as race. Race is a manufactured label. We can't believe it. We have textbooks and documentaries and miniseries and scores of people that we've told otherwise, but the science shows us that there's no such thing as race. And I'm like, newsflash, homie, Acts 17, Genesis 1, Genesis 2, from one blood. And now we have another set of scientists. Gasp. All these men and all these different species of animals, they came about at the same time. And I'm like, newsflash, homie, Genesis 1, Genesis 2. Oh, man, this is terrible. This is crazy to me. This is crazy to me. And so, in addition to finding that they, guys, I'm sorry, I don't mean to make light of this, but it's just, again, we go forward with all of our intellectual acumen and all of our scientific discoveries, and then the Lord slaps us in the face with a new discovery that turns everything on his head. Like the Big Bang Theory, for example. If you do your research, you'll find that the Big Bang Theory originally had an guesstimation for the age of the Earth. And then they found out that, snap, science don't support that. So then they added the Big Bang Theory as a new feature of the Darwinian evolution, macroevolutionary theory, because it wasn't an original component of it. Because the facts are, ladies and gentlemen, we all have the same evidence. The things that determine how we interpret and apply the evidence is what diverges. And we call that, brothers and sisters, faith. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Why do I say that? Whenever we have conversations about the origins of life, we're not having a conversation about science. We're having a conversation about faith. Why can I say that? Because for faith to be the topic of conversation, for science to be the topic of conversation as that conversation is contemporarily understood, the stimuli must be measurable, observable, and repeatable. If you don't have all three of those components, you are not having a discussion about science, because all three of those components are necessary to apply the scientific method to various stimuli. So we all have the same evidence, but when we have a conversation about the origins of life, it's a faith discussion. Why? Because none of these scientists were there to measure it. They certainly did not observe it, and last and most, and certainly not least, none of them can repeat it. So then it comes down to a faith conversation. It's the why do you believe what you believe? And you end up admitting that, well, I am standing on something somebody else told me at some point in my history, whether that's through a lecture or a textbook, it is what somebody else has conveyed to you. So once we come to that common line of understanding, then we can honestly say and honestly answer the next question. Now, what is the basis of your faith? Which of us has a more reliable bases for our faith? Once we get there, we're able to have an honest conversation. The article goes on to say, quote, and yet another unexpected finding from the study is that species have very clear genetic boundaries, and there's nothing much in between. Thaler, one of the researchers, said the absence of in-between species is something that also perplexed Darwin. In other words, what he's saying is that even though we have all these different species, there are genetic boundaries that show that this species, this animal, is this and not that. There ain't nothing in between. And Thaler honestly admits that Darwin had problems with that too, because Darwin admitted that his theory was just that, a theory. And that in order for his theory to be made true, he expected for there to be immediate revelation of transitional fossils. That if transitional fossils were not discovered, then his theory could not be relied upon. But they just kind of skip over that point in our day and time. So it's just interesting. And so I'll say it again for those of you who are scientifically inclined. This study was published in the Journal of Human Evolution. And I will post this article on the Facebook page, the Hamilton Corner's Facebook page, soon after the program. It's clearly written by an evolutionist, but it's amazing the things that they admit. And they even admit that they wanted to fight against the result of their study, but they couldn't deny the facts. Facts, what pesky things are those? Don't let the facts get away at your feelings. I just find it to be interesting. In all of these things that are happening now, you see the National Geographic admitting, that's no such thing as race. It's made up. And then now these guys are admitting, it seems like everything that is biological, all of these humans and all of these animals, they seem to have come into existence at all about the same time. Which they, in my opinion, undersold that introductory remark that the result of this study is either going to jostle, if not overturn, more than one settled idea about evolution. I think this is more than just a jostling. This puts the entire theory on its head. If you want to be intellectually honest. But, you know, what can I say about this? Another story I'm going to get into. I need a little more time to describe it. But never fear, Higher Ground Productions is here. What am I talking about? Well, when you want to know that Netflix has inked a deal with former President Barack Obama and his wife, Michelle Obama, to produce programming for Netflix. And their chief executive over content, Ted Sarandos, said that there will be no political slant to their programming. Don't you believe him? Can't you take his word for it? There'll be no political slant in the productions from the Obamas. Their production company is called Higher Ground Productions, which they began forming before they left the White House. So don't you feel warm and fuzzy that the Obamas will be producing some content for your Netflix subscriptions? If you have a Netflix subscription still following the 13 Reasons Why foolishness that's going on. Well, I just find this interesting because some people may think, oh, Netflix is just this, streaming service. No. Just last week, Netflix announced, it was announced. Netflix didn't announce it, but it was announced that Netflix is now bigger than Comcast, Fox, and Disney. Mm-hmm. Netflix's market value is over $152 billion now. 152.5 as of last week. Disney's about 152.1. So we're not talking about some small company here. You now have the Obamas providing programming for Netflix's over 117 million subscribers. And that's people who have purchased subscriptions. We all know that you have people that are using, multiple people using one subscription, those numbers are certainly closer to about 300 million people worldwide. And I'm sure you would like to know, what's the connections between the Obamas and Netflix? Well, glad you asked. Ted Sarandos' wife, Nicole Avant, served as a U.S. ambassador to the Bahamas in President Obama's first term in office. Don't you like that connection? So we have Susan Rice added to their executive board. Now the Obamas are providing programming for Netflix. And it's just this wonderful incestuous relationship. I make your wife, a part of my board, a U.S. ambassador to the Bahamas. I mean, who wouldn't want that assignment? And then when I get out of office, you give me a deal to do programming for Netflix. Isn't everything wonderful?
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper and deeper in credit card debt and you're not sure how to fix the problem? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management is a nonprofit organization that will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges and reduce your interest rates by as much as 60%. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. It's not a loan. It's a smart way to relieve your stress, meet your obligations, and preserve your self-respect. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813. If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
Hi, I'm David Barton, founder of Wall Builders.
And I'm Tim Barton, the president of Wall Builders. And we want to let you know about an opportunity this summer for 18 to 25-year-olds to come be a part of what we're calling the Leadership Training Program. Actually, the website is wallbuilders.com/leadership training if you want to see more information. But really what we're doing is trying to help young people combat a lot of the nonsense they're learning in academia, things that are anti-American or anti the Bible. And so we actually dig into the Bible, we dig into American history and the Constitution and education, and try to give a really good inoculation against some of the things that they're hearing in academics.
Yeah, Tim, you're exactly right. This is such an excellent opportunity to have the apologetics of the things that they'll face in academia and the culture. So if you're from 18 to 25 years old and you want training in this, and by the way, you get to actually hold the handwritten documents of George Washington and John Adams and other aspects of American history, this is a great opportunity this summer. 2 weeks, go to wallbuilders.com/leadership training. Hope to see you this summer.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Mount Holyoke College's graduation was supposed to be a celebration, but for one conservative graduate, it was anything but. Cassie Dillon was heckled and booed by her classmates after she decorated her graduation cap with a Donald Trump sticker. To be clear, other students had decorated their hats with liberal messages. That was okay, but Miss Dillon's hat was deemed unacceptable. Now, it seems like a silly thing, but what happened to Miss Dillon is an example of left-wing intolerance. There's no room for civility, no room for grace. Mount Holyoke's graduation was steeped in politics. Nancy Pelosi delivered the keynote address, a person who ascribes to an ideology in complete disagreement with conservatives. Yet instead of booing and heckling Pelosi, Miss Dillon politely applauded. In other words, she showed a measure of grace and civility, qualities that are unknown to her left-wing classmates. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
This is a monumental day for women in Ireland. This is about women taking their rightful place in Irish society, finally.
When I finally realized that I was pregnant, I felt trapped in my body and trapped in my country.
I think life is sacred.
I'm pro women having a choice in their lives and having a bit of liberation.
The government legislation will mean that healthy babies will be aborted and healthy mothers.
Have faith and trust in the women and deliver the service to them here.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio. An Urban Family Talk. We will open the phone lines this segment for if you want to join the program. I'll ask you, do you think you can trust Netflix's CEO of content? Well, I'm sorry, chief executive over content, that the Obama's productions won't be politically slanted? Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about the new study that shows that, seems like all of these animals and these humans all came into existence at about the same time. Or if you want to discuss what I'm about to share with you now, you are welcome to call 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. Now, that audio you just heard was audio from the fallout of the recent vote in Ireland. There was a referendum on Ireland's law that banned abortions completely. You had Irish citizens who no longer lived in Ireland, but they flew to Ireland to vote in this referendum, and 2.1 million people voted in the referendum, and 66.4% of the voters voted to repeal Ireland's 8th constitutional amendment, which outlaws abortion in the largely Catholic country. Only 33% of the voters there voted against repealing the 8th Amendment. Now, having said that, I'm just going to refer to it as voted in favor of abortion and voted against abortion, just so we can understand. In breaking it down amongst population demographics, among people aged 18 to 24, 87.6% voted to legalize abortion, compared to 63.7% of people aged 50 to 64. Voters over the age of 65 were the only ones to come out against abortion. Folks, this is a tremendously sad day for Ireland, and I would say a tremendously sad day for the world, because you have in America, abortion was legalized as a result of five lawyers in black dresses who are unelected and unaccountable, who foisted in utero baby murder upon our country, much to the chagrin of the majority of the country at the time. But here you have in Ireland, the majority of the population voting for the right to kill babies. And I played that bit of audio for you about with the celebration at the end, with the people cheering and clapping and celebrating. And all I could tell you was that it broke my heart. It broke my heart listening to this. And if you think what we do in America doesn't have an impact around the world, you know, I'm sorry, but you're woefully mistaken. I'm not naive enough to believe that what we do in America controls what will happen around the world. But in terms of what we do in America, oh, it certainly has an impact, has an influence. I'll never forget, I had a conversation with a gentleman from South Africa. And he said this, and when he said this to me, I hadn't thought about it at the time, but he said, America's greatest export is her culture. That's what he said. He said, what you do in America will ultimately be done around the world. Your greatest export is your culture. Among the people gathered outside of Dublin Castle awaiting the final news of the outcome of this referendum, they sang a song, and I don't know the song. I'm reading this from an article. They sang a song called What's Up by the American rock band Four Non Blondes. They're singing an American song while they're waiting on this to happen. And they quoted, said, and I said, hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, repeal the 8th. Our greatest export is our culture, because the perch we have in the country, in the world, I'm sorry, we influence what happens all around the country. Now, prior to Ireland's passage of its 8th constitutional, 8th amendment to its constitution that outlawed abortion, abortion was already illegal in Ireland. But the 8th amendment was passed in 1983. You want to know why? The Irish people saw that America had just passed Roe versus Wade. That Roe versus Wade had just been decided in America, I'm sorry. And at that time, the Irish people wanted to fortify themselves against what they saw as an influential move coming from America. And so they passed their Eighth Amendment. And now we're at the place where these people are celebrating. And it's amazing that they said that this is a victory for women. And I'm like, what women? Certainly not the ones that won't be born now. You know, certainly not those. And it's amazing. And Jeff had an astounding observation here. I don't know, you want to share that? What you were talking to me about was just about rebellion, period?
It just seems as though anytime the government or political entities want to present evil on a society or a culture, they do it in the name of a good cause or freedom. And really what it boils down to is nothing but selfishness and rebellion against God.
When it comes down to it.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it. And, you know, I hear all the time, and I don't mean to be crude. I know people who have had abortion. I've walked with women who are who have survived abortion. But to assert that the choice only exists once you're pregnant is just, in my opinion, it's an insult to women. You know, as if that they have no ability to control themselves or to make decisions prior to pregnancy. And it's just, it's sad. And it brings to mind, again, if you think that there is not a relationship, I have something that I respectfully disagree. Because what you ultimately have here is you have people voting to say, we know what God's standards are, and we don't care. It reminded me of another time where you had a raucous celebration. If you would, Jason, play clip number two.
I am here to attest and affirm that our faith and belief in God is central to the American story and informs the values we've expressed in our party's platform.
All those delegates in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed, say no.
No.
In the opinion of the... Let me do that again. All of those delegates in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed, say no.
No.
I guess I'll do that one more time. All those delegates in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed, say no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, 2/3 have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted, and the platform has been amended as shown on the screen.
Now, some of you may be asking, well, what is that? What are you talking about? I'm glad you asked that question. That, my friends, was 2012 at the Democratic National Committee when the vote was on the affirmation of God's inclusion in the Democrat Party's platform. And to where you heard it yourself, God was voted against 3 times and ultimately booed for being included in the Democrat Party's platform. Ireland just joined the chorus of those who would boo God, because we cannot forget that when we systematically determine to annihilate babies in the womb, we are deciding to repeat the commitment of the Pharaoh who sought to destroy the deliverer to Egypt, and Herod who sought to destroy the Messiah come to Israel and killing the babies. And with that, we'll turn to the phone lines in this last few minutes. We'll go first to Kansas, where Mary is on the line. Mary, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Our radio station's been out for about the 7th or 10 days, and it was nice to hear your voice. But what is so sad is we have to always demonstrate what America is coming to by all the bad news you have to tell us. But you're the only one, and other people on American Family, that will tell us the truth. And that is what's so sad, is that they keep seeing what's going wrong in America, but the people will not stand up to the left. I wish the poster could be put, left turn danger, just turn right mm-hmm. to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like hearing your voice was letting me back into the world, because that station's been dead so much. And I want to thank you for always being there for us and telling us the truth. And I just pray that one day, that when it's all said and done and we all have to step in front of Jesus, the people on the left will say, I sure was wrong, and it'll be too late for them. Mm. Thank you for your service to us.
Mm. Mary, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate your call and your kind words, the kind words. If you want to join the program, you're welcome to call 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. We have a couple minutes left. It looks like we have a couple lines open. And I'll say this. I hear exactly what you're saying, Mary, but I honestly hope and pray. Part of the reason why I do this program is that those who may present themselves as being regressives and progressives, that they would listen in an effort to change, because I don't want them to come to the realization of their error at the judgment seat. You know, I really, really, really don't. I really, really don't. And my first concern, regardless of where they stand politically, is that they do not reject the Messiah. You know, that they hear his word. They hear stories like like I talked about, the National Geographic's recognition that race is a myth. You know, it's a fiction. That you hear stories presented by these scholars from the University of Basel in Switzerland, or Basel, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, and this other Mark Steckel, and to realize that, wait a minute, evolution theory has been telling me all this time that you have this great separation in time in terms of development of people versus animals, but now the evidence is showing they came about all about the same time. Is that closer to Darwinian evolution, or is that closer to some articulation of what the Bible talks about the beginnings of time? I hope and pray that this type of conversation is pursued as a result, because my goal, my desire, I don't want to win arguments. I'm not, you know, y'all know I engage in politics for the purposes of being able to continue to proclaim the gospel. I recognize that one of the threats to the gospel's proclamation in our country is through the legal system. And so I engage to keep the door open for the gospel. But my desire is that people would know him. And so my hope and prayer is that this would happen before they stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, that they would not have to stand before the great white throne, because the great white throne is where people have their sin judged for the first time. But back to the phone lines. We'll go next to Tennessee, where Peter is on the line. Peter, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Abraham. Sorry for my voice. It might be trouble hearing me. 24 years ago, I was 19, and I was using some drug, and I was as promiscuous as many young people try to be. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting my girlfriend pregnant, and it was the idea of abortion was laid before me, and even at that young age, I knew that was a lie. Mm. And I was, you know, in a selfish mindset, you know, I was kind of for it, but not really. And as my girlfriend at the time was, who then became my wife, you know, she decided no, and she decided to keep the baby. And, you know, as a testament of that, this, I guess a month ago, a couple weeks ago, we went down to, I forget the name of the college off the top of my head, down there in Jackson, Mississippi, a Baptist school. Mm-hmm. She just graduated, fifth year senior.
Wow.
From college. And, you know, that's my first and oldest child of six now. So obviously I figured out that life is the way to go.
Wow.
So I'm one up on you, so you got some little catching up to do.
Peter, thank you so much for calling and being willing to be transparent and share your testimony. What, in your mind as a young 19-year-old man, you thought as an option to terminate the life of the baby in the womb of your girlfriend at the time, now resulted in you being able to go to your oldest child's graduation from college. Man, praise God for that testimony and for you finding the right path soon thereafter.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.